It's the one and only Africa Law and the B-Team DJs by Playmass Dr. Day. You're familiar.
You're now tuned into the one and only Africa Law live on Discover Music Channel by Playmass Dr. Day. In today's conversation, we're going to talk a little bit about slipping back into depression. Now, a lot of us have gone through so much in the last 3 years as a result of the pandemic and moving into new spaces and trying to reclaim normalcy. Sometimes there are things that can trigger, you know, depression or PTSD from whatever it is that you experienced over the course of the pandemic. Here with me today is Lando, the sage of Talk About It with Keys and Lance, also available on the music channel. They're currently taking a short break, but they'll be back soon. All right, Lando, what's good?
I'm right here, Alf. What's good? Also, we back. Picking up where we left off in regards to protecting our community.
We've had conversations offline and we're constantly in communication in regards to our work and personal lives. And for the loss recently, and this year in itself has been trying to figure out or get your bearings as to how you're going to maneuver in this post-pandemic world, right? Tell us a little bit about, you know, your experiences over the course of 2022.
I'll say this. For the most part, I was strong. At least I thought I was. I was. And the easiest way for me to think that I was is because I was keeping myself distracted and drowning myself in work. And because you always go in nonstop and not paying attention to the details that matter, you think you're okay when in reality, any little thing could actually like be that woof, and that's the explosion for you. For me, like I said, I was just working nonstop. My birthday, my older sister, she passed away on my birthday. So that's a weird sensation and a weird day for me every time. It's not something that I celebrate. It's something that everyone else celebrate. I don't. I took like at least a few weeks after my birthday, and because that's when I realized like something was wrong. You know, when you just start breaking down, crying in front of people for no reason and you can't stop that, you need to go figure out what's the problem. And I went to my sister's grave hoping not to find what I was looking for. And I kid you not, I was in that graveyard for at least over half an hour just crying my head out after I saw her name. Because I was looking there for like over 13 years and I couldn't find it. I couldn't find where her grave was with her name. And I, for whatever reason, like as fate would have it, I found it and I was there just bawling out and trying not to cry, thinking about it right now. So moving on from that, you know, trying to bounce back, trying to put that energy into something else like music, which and I did. I'm working on a song right now called This World Is Not My Home. And some weeks after that, my older brother, he ends up in the hospital and he just passed away Friday night. I have a singing engagement to do at Balmoral. And as soon as I go up, I get the text saying that he's dead.
Oh my God.
So it's like when it rains, it pours. It just don't ease up on the brakes. And the only way I know how to cope with it is, hey, it's life. It happens. It stings. And I gotta deal with it. I have no other choice but to deal with it, but dealing with it just don't make it that easy. But in the midst of all of that, I feel like I want to quit and I don't know how.
I think that's it. That's the overall thing. There are certain people that, you know, moment where you have this moment of doubt, but there's part of you that won't allow you to quit, but you can't go on dealing with life and or the world the way you do. I think the title of the song in itself, oh, I don't know, it's kind of scary, Lance. I saw you posted something and I was worried. I really was worried. I was like, I need to reach out. That seems suicidal. Just don't want to be here. And I've heard you more than once or twice make statements as if, you know, this place ain't really where you need to be, but where else you going to be? We don't know anything other than this. You know what I mean?
That's the thing. You're right on one thing. I don't want to be here. Am I suicidal? I could say no. Maybe someone who is in a field might say you have tendencies or have certain features of a person with suicide. To me, I'm not, but you're right. I don't want to be here. I have said this a million and one times. Living is overrated. I mean, look at where we are. And that's not me like complaining or nothing. I'm just speaking from my point of view. You know what I mean? Does that mean I'm going to opt out? No, not at all. But it's a bit overrated for me. If I could go on an island right now by myself and have me a couple of seeds and start my own agricultural and horticultural way of life, I think I'd actually be a bit more better off. I'd be happy. But in this, the day-to-day that I'm in, it caters to the unhappiness. And that's why like I find myself staying in my office a whole lot more and locking my door and just it helps. Whenever I put on my headphones and I'm at the microphone, it helps. It's the only thing next to making a smoothie that makes me happy. But everything else, you know, like if I tell everyone what I'm going through and it's no one else's business, they'd wonder how I'm still standing.
I must say that in the last, I've been depressed over the course of the pandemic. I'd say the second year of the pandemic, it really set in. I was in an isolation, and I'm sure those of you that listen to the network, you've read or seen or heard statements, and it was obvious that there was some type of depression. I since got out of it, relocated, went back to the States and was able to catch my footing and get back in the groove and reestablish myself. Then something really traumatic happened, and it didn't happen to me, but it happened to someone close to me. And it was like, it was every moment on with them that made me feel guilty for surviving. And then, you know, and just knowing that person and that person's energy and seeing that person online outside of their normal character in so much pain, and there's nothing that you can do, say, to absorb that pain for them. That feeling of helplessness is crazy. I have a really, really good friend. He and I were on video chat when he suffered a stroke. March 14th will be a year since, and he's in recovery, but I'm reminded that he's not the same person he was.
Right.
And there's nothing that I can do. And then he gets frustrated with me because he tells me that I'm trying to act like a mother, but I only know how to nurture and take care of people.
Right.
And that in itself is frustrating because you want to do so much and people don't even want that. And then there are the people that you've done so much for. They take you for granted. Mm-hmm. They expect you to always be there. Answer the phone and to allow them to pick your brain while they go and secure multi-million dollar contracts off of the information for them free and willingly as a friend or family member. You know, I've put 17 years into this platform, 17 years into crafting voices for people of color, people of Caribbean descent, having a space and a place for them to be able to express themselves and share their ideas collectively.
Right.
And around 2017, all of a sudden, people are like, oh, podcasts is the thing. No, podcasts have been around for, well, 12 years now at this point. And, you know, between 2017, 2018, really, 2018 and 2022, Nas got a podcast, Cali got a podcast, Gilla got a podcast. I like Gilla's podcast. He's funny as fuck. All these people that move from the entertainers or the rappers that we've known have moved into this media space,
mm-hmm,
with more formal training. And yes, that was the whole concept of the podcast, being able to level the playing field, right?
Yeah.
And have conversation, because podcasts are conversation based. They're not necessarily, you know, they're still conversation and educational based, but they're based on your experiences. They're based on opinions. They're not necessarily based on, no real journalism in it, unless you have people like Elliot Wilson or Kevin Powell are journalists podcasts. But for the most part, they're opinion based. Great to have these voices, but I don't know. I feel because like you give the world everything you have and you still have nothing to show for it. But people who've never even taken as serious are getting rewarded. And, you know, like they're like, oh, yeah, I've been doing this for 6 months. Yeah, like, come on. And there are people that they're like, oh, no, I just want to start and I want to start with this kind of sponsor. I'm like, how are you going to start with? What makes you think that you're going to start with a sponsor or you're going to start with funding? You know, somebody's been doing it for probably a year and a half now. Like, oh, this got to start making money. Really? So I should be saying the same thing after 17. Like, this got to start making money.
That's incredibly relatable, considering the fact and. Yes, I have to toot my own horn because at the end of the day, I'm my own competition. You feel me? This is one of the reasons why I no longer do features with anyone in this country, per se, simply because like I've seen the nature of the beasts. And let's just say these beasts are puppies when it comes down to the things that I deliver, the energy that I bring to the table, the places that I've been. I remember the first time walking up on that stage and I said, good evening, Montreal. My name is Lano the Sage and I got a message. And I paused and I said, all the way from the Bahamas. As soon as I said that, the room lit up. No one has been there. They had the opportunity to do it and they didn't do it. And I'm watching these people like gain certain heights with literally nothing or something that I have had to hand to them. And it makes me wonder if I'm doing something wrong, because I know what I've handed to you, I'm still doing. I know I'm still doing it. In fact, I'm doing that and then some. So why is you getting the red carpet rolled out for you? And I know you don't want it as bad as I do, because this is the air that I breathe. I've gained certain skill sets to get to the next plateau. And it's like, you're still on the floor, kid. And I'm not unhappy for anyone else's success. I mean, hell yeah. My whole idea is, hey, I want you to eat. But it's how you get that food. And half the time, it's like you take that food away from me and I'm left in the dust. You know? But much love to their success and all that. But still, it's just sometimes I feel like certain things are stolen away. And maybe I need to put myself in an aggressive mood to say, okay, cool. If the world ain't giving me nothing, maybe I need to get aggressive and take it. Because if people taking away from me and they're winning and I'm not receiving anything in return, maybe it's time I get aggressive and I make it my playing field and not theirs.
I don't know how much more aggressive I could be. Shit, we everywhere. We everywhere. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you can Google the name and rows and rows and things come up.
Uh-huh.
It's not like we haven't created created content that matters. We're constantly talking about, we're constantly having conversations about things that matter, from media to culture to. And none of those things have a shelf life. Back to content that we did 17 years ago. And I'm like, wow, this is still powerful, you know? So it's not that it's invalid. I just don't know how else you're supposed to move forward. And I want to say, like I'm happy for the people. I'm happy and I'm people that I've supported and helped along the way, and they've moved on to do things. I'm happy for them, you know? But right. I feel like the longer I have to constantly work to keep the infrastructure together, there's not enough time for me to shine. And maybe that's it. And then it doesn't help. And it doesn't help when you're in a situation where mentally and physically you're uncomfortable in your environment. Like that does not spark any desire to grow or to it just takes everything out of you. And yes, like I am slipping into a depression. Not only am I slipping into depression, I feel like I'm suffering from substance abuse. And I noticed that my consumption of alcohol and other things I've had this enormous amount of anxiety, and I don't know how. I don't know how to make it go away. Like I said, is a coupling of the thing that happened with my homeboy's daughter. Is one of the things that pushed it over the edge. It's one of the things that pushed it over the edge. Because I spent my entire life trying to protect my daughter from things like that, experiences like that. And knowing that relationship that they had, that he wasn't able, with everything that he's done and he's been there, he wasn't able to protect her. I feel like, who am I if this big strong man couldn't? It's just all this worry. So I just shut down. And I don't want to be around people.
One person who don't like human interaction is me. So I don't know how this gonna pop off whenever I blow.
That's a lie. That's a lie.
If you and know, that,
according to Maury, and Maury, that was a lie.
Listen, if you know me internally, I don't like being around people. Like, give me a bottle of water, and I would be by the beach for 8 hours straight. No one bothering me. Half the time, if I don't have any work inside my office, and it's nightfall, I am by the water's edge. I'm over in the back of the quay, in the back of Fish Fry, and I'm there by myself, just vibing with music playing, and I'm sitting down near the water. I just because I speak with people and I know how to speak, don't mean I like being around people. It's just the fact that I know I have to interact with people, and I have to make sure that I know how to present myself when I speak.
Well, in the entertainment industry, you have to communicate and then. That is how you get, that might be the reason why you're not getting the red carpet rolled out, because you're not hobnobbing with all of the people that can make it happen.
Oh, you mean putting on that smile to get into all the right doors?
Right.
Mama always told me never to fake it to make it, so that's just my issue. I was talking to Joe Blacks about Lil Nas X. You know, he knows that better than anyone. I don't care what no one says. Because when it comes down to entertaining the right personnel, he knows how to get it done. And he doesn't care what he has to do to get it, because he knows his niche. I don't have that. I really don't.
You don't know your niche, or you don't have the gumption to entertain the right people and do the Sambo dance.
Yeah. The latter. It's the latter. You understand? Okay. Because like I said, I'm not going to fake it to make it. That's what my mother taught me. My mother of the world told me to kiss butt until it's time to kick butt. I responded to her, my lips right here, you see them, they pink. They're not brown. So it's never going to be the kissing thing. I only know how to be true to me, which is why I'm an independent artist. I have to figure this thing out properly, and I have to learn from those who are also on the independent level. There are some things I'm going to have to compromise. Yes. But I'm still working on the whole people thing. You know, because discernment is real. You understand? With discernment, you know who's for you. You know who's against you. And you know who's ready to put the knife in your back and who's just ready to just suck you dry. And I'm cautious about those things. I have trust issues worse than what Drake sings about. Okay, there are some things that have gone down in my life that made me that way. I wasn't always this way. I was one of the guys who always had a big old smile on and always optimistic about people and all of that stuff. And then life got real, and it continued to stay real until I got to where it's as real as it gets for me.
Right. So my question is, we know that there are various levels of depression, and there are various surviving trauma and survival modes. How do you treat yourself when yourself sliding back into a dangerous state of depression? Like, how out of that? How do you get out of that slum and kind of refocus and realign yourself so that you can be healthy and productive?
I start telling people no. I'll share something with what my aunt told me. She said the 11th commandment is look out for thyself. And there were times I never understood it until things hit the fan. And it shouldn't ever get to the point where things hit the fan that I apply it. But when it gets down to that, where it gets like really, really heavy, and I'm reaching that point, or I'm already at my breaking point, or I'm already broken, it's that point where I say no.
Right.
I just say no, and I let them know, hey, listen, I got this going on, and I got to deal with me. And now if you can't assist with this issue, and it's a heavy issue for me, give me my space. I will get to you when I can. The situation is not heavy for you as it is for me. So back up. Let me breathe. And when I get to you, I'm going to get to you. But for right now, I need to look out for number one. Even if that means I go in my corner and I take a breather and I keep my headphones on and the rest of the world is blocked out, or I go to the beach and I meditate, it helps. It helps, you know, and I deal with it because I don't want to stay in that state. It's heavy. It's heavy as hell. And I don't know how to rely on certain people. I don't know how to pick up the phone and call for anyone. To even like have any form of counseling or comfort or anything like that. I just know how to deal with me based on my experience, you know, and there's people that are going to say that, yeah, they're here for you and stuff like that. But I never learned how to go to these people. I only know this works. Me being alone, me putting on my headphones, me going to the microphone, me putting that energy there. I know what works for me. That's what I do. I take that time out for me and I pay attention to the details that works for me. Until I no longer feel like the world is just full of doo-doo. You know, so it helps. And I would recommend anyone that's going through any form of depression, a couple of things. One, someone is going to listen. Yes, I know someone will listen to me if I decide to open up about a number of things. I know that. But someone is always there to listen. Two, if you don't feel like talking to anyone, then you're going to have to learn to talk to yourself, because sometimes you are your own friend. You are your only friend in certain situations. Three, in talking to yourself or talking to someone, you still have to take that time out for you. Because at the end of the day, it's not the end. I don't care about bills. I don't care about responsibilities. I don't care about work. Hell, I done been homeless so many times, I stopped counting. I've lost people. But at the same time, I learn to take time out for me. The world does not exist. It doesn't matter when I have to do that. It shouldn't matter, because the world is not going to give me anything. I have to learn to give something back to me. And that's some form of happiness to get out of that rut.
So you're saying taking time for yourself and acknowledging that you're going through something is a way to deal with the anxiety of depression?
100%. Along with saying no. You have to say no to everyone else and say yes to you. Yes, something is wrong with me and I have to deal with it. I have to get it fixed. Even if that means allowing someone to get involved or doing it myself.
There are 5 levels of depression: major depression, persistent depressive disorder, bipolar disorder, seasonal affective disorder, psychopathic depression, postpartum depression, premenstrual, dysphoric, and I don't know if that's how it's pronounced, but anyway, disorder, and situational depression. Those are the classified variants of depression. In that in itself, it is like there's so many different things that can trigger a depression. So they say, what should I do during depression? Look for support from people who make you feel safe and cared for. Okay, that's not going to help. Make FaceTime a priority, meaning having physical the human beings, others, care. Yeah, I don't know about that.
No. My God, you're on though.
Join a support group for depression. I'm black. We not doing that. Yeah. Aim for 8 hours of sleep. I feel I work a lot. Like anybody that knows me knows that my work is my life. People ask me all the time, oh, F, what do you enjoy doing? I'm like, fuck, music. Like, that's all I do. Like, what I'm doing for a living is actually what I enjoy doing. You know what I mean?
Mm.
I miss getting on a plane and being in a different country or a different state for the weekend or for a week or whatever, a couple months. Miss that. Like, I miss road life. I definitely miss that. But we're in a different era of normalcy now. So I have to learn how to be in one place and still be achieve that area that I get from being active in different places, in different spaces, you know, doing the destination events. I don't like being up in people's face. I don't want too much people breathing on me. And
preach in the choir.
The people I want breathe on me, I don't know if they breath. That's another thing. I'm just saying. That's another thing. So then there's a whole level of anxiety that goes with that thought. Maybe I'm overthinking shit. I don't know. Care for a pet? Shh. Let me tell you. Nah, I'm good. That's not even a possibility. Like, nah, I don't know. Unless we get a pet rock. I'm gonna go outside. I got some permanent markers. I'm gonna go outside, get me a rock, and put 2 eyeballs on it, and just, you know, a little nose and shit. Oh, it might be some shit. That's some creative shit. Then motherfuckers gonna think that I'm schizophrenic or some shit. But no, like, what the fuck F doing playing with a rock?
We've reached that level of Ed, Ann, and Eddie yet. Imagine. All right, time to fly.
Don't get it twisted. I ain't gonna front. Like, I had a pet rock before when I was younger. My mom, what do you mean, animal? And I pay for this. Oh, so you think I can pay for other things other than these tree? No, but she's like, I already get 3 animals in here. You think I want the next one?
Oh, no,
she had 3 of them. It was nothing else coming in the house. nothing else is coming in the house. Well, you could imagine when I try to invite people over to the house talking about play, so they can eat up all our food in the fridge. No.
Whole...
You go play outside.
Mommy, can my friend come over? No. Go in the backyard.
Fuck, I only get enough macaroni for you. You want other people come over here? Girl, don't play that. to Chasta.
You know, I thought about stuff like that used to make me like a whole lot bummed out as a kid, like especially when we had our first house. And looking at the neighbors and the kids, especially interacting with the kids. Interacting with the kids was bad. Interacting with the adults was worse. And I'm like, why can't we all just get along? You know, like, and I say that to say that there's, Keys and I, we did an episode speaking about a community over there, somewhere where you are. And it was supposed to be like an all-black gated estate community and whatnot. And they were just going to focus on just building up blacks, black schools, black homes, black small businesses, basically to make that black community work. You understand? And I was like, why this stuff can't happen here? I was thinking this way from I was a child. Everyone has a little bit of something, of course, trading here and there and whatnot. And all the needs are met. Yes, everyone's always going to have their wants, but all the needs are met. But when you're down, it's like everyone puts a smile on. When you're a kid, everyone is cheering you on for you to take your first step. When you're an adult, it's like, you see, I know they was as bad as I thought they were. That doesn't make any sense to me. I still don't compute with that. Why would you want to see me down instead of seeing me up?
Well, it's in the way that we're socially conditioned and the behaviors. Like I tell people all the time, and I think we had this conversation on one of the shows where we said that in our age demographic, we're probably three generations removed from slavery. Our great-grandmother's mother may have been a slave. So, you know, the things that they grew up with to our grandmother, our grandparents, then instilled it to our parents. Parents, even though there was evolution, there were still traces of that in their culture. You know, I didn't want to beat my child. I didn't want to beat my child because I experienced that as a child because, again, my mother's mother was a slave and then free.
Mm-hmm.
My mother's mother, yes, my mother's mother was a slave and then free. So they grew up with that mentality, but they also grew up with that mentality that it out the mud. And they understood having their own, and they were the picture of the upper class in that region, in the Caribbean region. So we come from this strict upbringing, but idea of entrepreneurship that was instilled in us because we knew that we couldn't depend on anybody else to get it for us. And I think that that's the one thing that, like, when I look at my friends and everybody's like, oh, I want a job, I want this. And I'm like, yeah, we can create our own opportunities and have our own careers, and we can do this. You know, my mother always said it's important, regardless of what type of education that you have some type of skill that you can fall back on, because that piece of paper, while you might have a doctorate or a master's or even just a bachelor's, that piece of paper don't amount to shit in the real world application. And you're constantly learning, you know, as you grow, you're constantly learning. And there's not enough, the things that I know, they haven't even created curriculums to teach these things. I've had 17 years doing podcasting. Podcasting started in 2004. I've had 17 years of doing podcasting, and I don't know if they do it in schools now, But the things that I've learned as it's grown and established and been able to do, they don't even have curriculums for that. Even when I was in my mass comm curriculum, it was still evolving. It was still an evolution. You know, things that we were learning in school, we got out of school, was obsolete.
Right.
So, you know, I say that to say that, you know, you have to, it's a mindset. You can't be stuck on this is the way things are. You have to constantly be evolved. I think that the depression is the anxiety of knowing that something has to give, something has to change, but also trying to figure out how do I make this change. And I had so many people give me pushback on decisions that I've made, and then 3-4 weeks later big corporations make the same decision that I've made because I'm not a Google or a Metaverse or whatever the hell it is. When I say it, it's met with opposition. But when they say it, it's like, oh, this will be good for blah, blah, blah. I told you guys years ago, matter of fact, when D-Nice hit 1 million on Instagram, I said, I want you guys to know and believe that they're going to introduce a certain type of model to the thing once this happens.
Right.
They then came with Versus. Versus, again, I said, they're going to find a way to monetize that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And so the Versus now that we experience a hybrid version of Versus. They're still available free online for streaming. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's going to change once everybody gets into this beta. Once version of the subscription model is available to everybody on Instagram. And then, of course, they're on the Triller app, which, you know, you have to be a subscriber on Triller. How they make their money by the amount of subscriptions that they have, right? So early in 2021 that I said we were going to move into this model, the same model that people were giving me pushback on, now they're like, oh, this is a great thing, and blah, blah, blah. Like,
as if you didn't say this.
I told you this was happening. I told you this is, because you could look at the trends in the market and see what's going next, you know. Because from this thing, people were trying to figure out how can you, because people don't feel like they should pay to read a blog on the internet. Like, they feel like content should be free.
I do not agree with that at all when the masses think that. Just wanted to put that out there.
No, but I'm just telling you, like, but perceptions change because in 2004, 5, 6, 7, nobody, people were like, what the fuck, I'm going to go pay to read the source online?
But they was buying the same magazine.
Yeah, they would buy the magazine because it had different value. But they wouldn't pay for it. They wouldn't pay to online, which is why a lot of the magazine companies, you know, they lost money going online, but they had to go online because they had to stay with the trends. Mm-hmm. Now they picked up, subsidized that with having advertisements and getting major outlets advertising on their platforms. Their money came from it didn't come from magazine sales. Because it was magazine sales and advertising that were funding it. So now you just got rid of all of your sales, and now you're doing this product. When Wall Street Journal made it subscription based, where you could read the first fold of the story, but to read the rest of the article you had to pay. Wall Street Journal lost a lot of people. That information, you're going to pay that $1.99 a month. And it's not even a lot of money. It's just that people didn't feel comfortable doing it. Now we're now, like, this is almost 20 years later. Because, you know, this is almost 20 years later. Here we are almost 20 years later, and all of a sudden, we're redefining the culture. We're redefining the shift in the market or the cultural trends, the cultural norms, by saying, okay, now we're going to charge you because creatives work this hard on this thing and they deserve to be paid. Because there's no, because, you know, when somebody says, oh, I'm a influencer or I'm a blogger, the first thing people say is, well, how you make money doing?
Every time.
I get that all day, every day. And then I'm like, I'm not going to sit here and explain this to you. Because what, for what, why? And they're like, that don't make no sense. Well, I don't know, you know, because the last 17 years I've had a roof over my head. I had a roof over my head and I had internet. Mm. And in order for me to have internet, I got to have electricity. Internet and electricity. So I don't know. I did been able to maintain. Now, granted, I'm not, you know, living in a big mansion and freaking driving Bentley cars and shit, but I'm able to sustain. I'm able to sustain some type of lifestyle. So with that, you know, with that being said, it's like the anxiety of it all. It all is like this snowball. You're constantly second guessing yourself because people around you don't see the bigger picture, and they don't understand all of, they don't understand everything that goes into this. So maybe it's just you're having conversations with the wrong people. Maybe you need to step outside of, you need to step outside of your circle. But then when you step outside of your circle, it has to be something. It has to be something it has to be something that outside of this that takes you into a different space so that you don't have that anxiety, so that you're not second guessing yourself, and so you don't constantly feel like you're not. I don't know. A lot of the people that I hear that are depressed, they feel like they're not enough. What they're doing is not enough. What they've been through is significant. And it's like at this point, I don't want to exist in this space anymore. And I don't know if that's death or just peace, because I don't know. But I know that I cannot exist ace and try to build, because just in itself, you know, I have a friend, they just recently got a job at the DA's office in New York City. And they're like, oh, so what are you doing? Where are you at now? And I'm like, same place I've been at 17 years. They're like, so you ain't doing nothing? I'm like, what the fuck you mean I ain't doing nothing? Have you not seen me travel all over the fucking world?
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're like, oh, no, she's an entrepreneur. Oh, so how do you make, don't fucking get him. See, now this is the reason why they be like, oh, go talk to people. I ain't talking to nobody who can don't even understand what I'm going through. Your brain is to feel like working for somebody else for 40 years is more and you working for yourself and creating a foundation that will allow your children to be able to have a foundation to continue to live off of. Because I can tell you, the thing that I've created, all of the documentaries that I've done, and I've done the documentary every year since 2010. So I have at least 12 documentaries, right? And I've done a documentary every year since 2010. And all of that content is content capturing the culture, capturing culture, and Caribbean culture. That might not be it might not be useful now, be happening now, but God forbid I leave this earth today. All of that content is going to turn into something valuable that my child and my people, whomever was a part of that situation, able to eat off of.
And the fact of the matter is, you're supposed to be receiving your flowers before you exit. That's what bothers me about life.
Well, I don't know.
I'll say this though.
We say that. But the reality is not true. There's so many great people that are walking around that have in life and influenced culture. They've made great impact on people. Like, I've had conversations with people right here on this show. And, you know, I go to interview them and they're like, before you start, like, I want to thank you. And I'm like, things that I, just me being me, you know what I mean?
Well, and that was the part I was going to add to the conversation just now. That part right there. So while we doing this show right here, right now, I can never say thank you enough. You've heard me tell you a million and one times what you've done for me in regards to my music. You're the reason why my YouTube channel is what it is. You partially the backbone behind me pushing in my form of videography. Otherwise, no one else is going to do it for me. But the fact of the matter is, you also had Playmass. I understood this creation, this empire that you were working on for the last umpteen years, simply because I understand what an empire is. I understand entrepreneurship. I understand what it takes to build something great and to be a part of something great, you know, and that's also one of the reasons why I made it my personal business to say, hey, Keys, this my homegirl, this what she dealing with. I know we deal with Anchor. I know we deal with Red Circle. Now it's time to deal with something all black. And she knows what she's doing. She has the keys, pun intended. So I think we need to take that chance. And I know the chance is worth taking. And I kid you not, for the entirety that we've been on, we always watch the numbers. And the numbers is like, yo, we really doing this. And that's what was like legit pushing us when we had no distractions. No disrespect to Keys, no disrespect to myself, but this is the stuff that we were seeing, you know, and this was on a platform that you personally created. You did this. Ain't no one else did this. So me personally, if you weren't in certain spaces, which in you was over here at the time when I actually learned more about Playmass and all that, cause niggas just used to go there to go click to listen to the darn cipher. And as good as that was, what more could we have contributed to grow Playmass? You know, my concern now is just helping it expand, you know, how to reach more people, let them experience this and let them see the colors and hear more about certain artists, especially those that, you know, coming up in the interviews and the podcasts, however it may be. And also investing in purchasing the merch there, you know, I want to be able to where I get to the point of where my pockets can say, hey, let me cop a couple of merch and rock that Playmass thing. But hey, when you see me get there, I doing videos and I can try to figure out how to get the money to you still. But that's neither here nor there. The point of the matter is, this what Playmass did now for me. This is why I chose to invest in Playmass and why I want to invest more into Playmass.
You know, the concept behind Playmass is inspired freedom, because every time that I go on the road, every time that I participate in, whether it's Junkanoo or Carnival, it's like this freedom. I don't know if you have to experience this, Lano. I don't know if you've ever experienced. Like, it's one thing to be in the bleachers, but it's a thing to be on that concrete and feel that drum beat friggin' vibrate through your soul. Like, it's just this feeling of freedom. And so Playmass is just that, like, inspired freedom. The music, culture, all of that inspires this freedom, you know. When I listen to the music, it's like urban. When I listen to urban music, it's like this whole creative is unlocked for me. It's like the world. I feel when I turn on those headphones and speakers, like I can breathe. You asked me earlier what makes me happy. If it's what part of music makes me happy? Is it playing? Is it mixing? Is it listening? Is it recording? And it's like everything. That's just like taking a project from a concept to completion and watching the way people consume moment and how they react. That's everything. That's always been one of the things that I loved about being a producer, a creative producer, a content producer, or is being able to take an empty space, like even with destination events, to take an empty space, to have a concept, and to be able to take that empty space and create experience people will talk about for years, you know, getting it from a thought to having everybody in the city talking about it. I think my first show in the Bahamas was R. Kelly with Fresh Entertainment.
No. Get out. You lying right now.
No, that was my first show in the Bahamas.
Wow.
And I remember the creative process of taking, first of all, what we did was we built an outside stadium. So we took a parking lot and converted it into stage one. So we had to get people to buy that concept, because what we wanted to do was have the ocean back when we
shot. Oh, I remember this. I was, when that happened, I was on the key fishing near this, and I hear R. Kelly say, what did he say? He said something at the beginning. I think he said Nassau County, what's up, New York? And I was like, wait, what? Listen, me and my homegirl, we had that joke for years. Never forget it, yo. Wow. So to hear it just bringing back a bunch of nostalgia.
That was my first show. That was my first major concert. Shows before that, like I've done shows, whatever. But that was one of the first shows I had I worked on almost every part of it, from the concept to the design to like all of the advertisement, all of the work that was for that concert, the video work, all of that stuff I did. You know what I mean? I did all the PR for that. We did relation for that. With the artists, I did concierge service where we made sure that we took the art from place. So that was the reasons why I really enjoyed working a company, because I was a part of every step of the way. It was just like I said, just being able to take a concept to its final destination and seeing how that like the Romaine and Jacques show. I'm not even a reggae person. I mean, but that show was amazing. When I tell you it was amazing, because again, we took a place that nobody could have having a concert in. We did Candlelight. And in there, you know, the acoustics is horrible inside the gym. We paid for soundproofing for that gym. And this hall, there was no hollow sound. Everything was nice, rich, and we used live, we had a live band. The only thing that event that happened at the event, Ja Rule, Ja Cure gone, because he go and try to talk to somebody, gal, and I go.
Right. I remember that.
But the concert itself was amazing. So again, next we did. Again, we always pick these venues that nobody could fathom could work. And we made it work, and we were known for making things work and creating experience, talking about it. Like, these are things that people are still talking about, you know what I mean? Like the Fantasia show. I don't know. I couldn't imagine not doing what I do. I can't imagine not doing what I do for a living. And I don't even know what I would do. I don't even know how I would respond if I was caged up in somebody's office or restaurant or whatever. You know, people think that I'm worth, because when you're in a 9-to-5 a rut, and I feel like that's a rut. Because it's a rat race. You're just constantly doing the same thing over and over and over again. You get stuck in that mundane, the monotony of that, right? Mm-hmm. I think when people get stuck into that, they can't express themselves. They can't see beyond the 2 feet in front of them. So, yeah. And so, at this point, I'm just trying to figure out how I get out of this rat trap that I'm in. I feel like a hamster. Like it's just monotonous. And that, you know, I know that not traveling is one of the biggest things to me, because even in my childhood, like, I traveled all the time. We lived everywhere. All my life that I've lived in place. Like, yeah, it's changed. But where do you go? What do you? I'm legit about to be old as fuck.
Black people don't get old; they get experience. There's a difference.
Yeah, but there's still things that you can't do at certain stages. Well, I don't know. People get married at 80, so who knows?
I've seen a white man go to college and play basketball for their college team at the age of 72 when I was 18 years old.
Yeah, I don't believe that one, but okay.
It was on the news.
He was playing he was a water boy position, eh?
Listen to me. It was on UPN 9 when UPN was still a channel. It was on UPN 9 on the news. He decided he was going to go to college after his entire year, like his entire life was done. At age 70-something, he went to college, and he was on the basketball team for that college, had his suit, was playing in the game, everything, and he was doing his college stuff at that age.
All right, I'm going to Google that one. But in the meantime, in between time, we had to bring this to an end. I just want you guys to know, if you want to be happier, sciences say to do these 11 things, and these 11 things every single day. Smile more, exercise for 7 minutes, sleep more, spend more time with friends and family. That'll give you fucking anxiety. I know about that one. Go outside more often, help other people, plan a trip, even if you don't go, meditate.
Depression matters so much. And here are 11 things you can do by the time you reach number 7. To get the rest of how you can cure yourself from depression, please subscribe for $49.99 at our website.
Oh, God.
What is today?
So number 9 is move. I'd definitely be the I need that drive if I'm working for someone. Practice gratitude. That's a good one. I like that. And number 11, and the easiest tip of all, get older. I hear that. Oh.
What? Ain't we doing that every single second?
Yo, 1 through 8 was great, right? 11 was some bullshit. Move closer.
No, son.
All right. So smile more, exercise for 7 minutes, sleep more, spend more time with friends and family, go outside more often, help others, plan a trip, even if you don't take it, meditate, move closer to work, and continue to get older. That last one had to have been a punk.
Okay, let me stop my not aging process then. I'm gonna start getting older now.
Right. Any final words before we leave? Before we wrap up?
Talk to someone, but take time out for you. Do something what you have to do to take time out for you. Regardless of what it is, get risky if you have to, because you matter. Do whatever it is to make sure that you do you. Depression is not a place that you should stay in.
Once again, it's the one and only Afrika Ola. I want to thank you for eavesdropping on our conversation today. Yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode of Being Africa Allah right here on Discover Music Channel by Playmate.
Get familiar.